Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
I'm very, very serious about my Catholicism, and Hillary views that as a real asset.
Even to say to someone, do you want to have children, or do you want to have another, that is pro-choice language.
So if a student encounters a professor who's interested in gender, race in class, or LGBT issues, and those issues are going to be the defining frameworks for looking at the past, probably there's a progressive agenda at work.
The more we pray that, come Lord Jesus, the more we are freed to love God and serve our neighbor in the way we conduct ourselves as citizens.
Canadian Pipers love issues, etc.
I think it's safe to say that the tension is now palpable. It's not only a theological tension for the church living in the world, even in a free society like the United States of America. It's also a legal tension, and the tension perhaps grows even greater questions of religious freedom, free exercise of religion. And it always comes down to dollars and cents, does it? Who ought to be paying for it and how things get paid for? There's a Supreme Court case involving whether or not government tax dollars can be used to help fund a safer playground at a Lutheran Child Learning Center in mid-Missouri. We're going to be talking about that case here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, October the 20th. Carrie Kupek of Alliance Defending Freedom will be our guest, and then we're going to get a little post-game on the final presidential debate with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave a question, comment, or show suggestion on the comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a Supreme Court case, whether or not government tax dollars could be used to help fund a playground for a Lutheran Child Learning Center. Carrie Kupek, she is legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. Carrie, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd.
I recently read a story in a Kansas City newspaper where you had a fire department analogy that helps explain this case. Make that for us, if you would.
Yeah, sure. So people of faith shouldn't be treated like second-class citizens. And the case that you're referencing is the playground case before the Supreme Court. It's actually the only religious freedom case before the Supreme Court. And what's happening is what you said. The state rejected Trinity Lutheran's Learning Center preschool, their application for a rubberized playground service. It's a grant program. Trinity Lutheran ranked a number 5 out of 44 applicants that applied for the safer playground service, but they were denied solely because it's a religious organization. Now, the problem with this is that the Supreme Court has previously said that you cannot condition the receiving of a generally available public benefit on one's religious identity, if you will. So, for instance, what is this like? This is like a city stopping the fire department from putting out a fire at a church simply because it's a religious organization, or say a city fixing the sidewalks downtown in the city and the crew being told to leave the sidewalk cracks in front of a mosque. And obviously we could go on and on, but you see what the problem is with this.
So the term "they're generally available" seems to be pretty important here when it comes to who pays for the improvement of a playground.
Yeah, that's right. And it's important to note how this is set up in Missouri specifically is that when a person purchases a tire in Missouri, everybody pays a specific fee on their tire purchase. Those fees fund this playground program. And what it basically is it's recycled tire scrap. So the Missouri has an issue, like many states do, with of waste and disposing of that waste and discarded tires, filling up landfills and things like that. So they created this program to get rid of the tires, use those tires to make those rubberized playground surfaces, and then created this grant program that nonprofits could apply to for their playground surfaces. And that's all it is. So everyone pays this fee in Missouri, obviously including people of faith, But unfortunately, the playgrounds at their religious organizations can't benefit from it.
So give us the whole story here of this case up to the point where now it has been accepted by the Supreme Court's docket.
Sure, it's been pretty simple. There's actually not much more than what we've been discussing. It's religious preschool. They were rejected from the state program to provide these grants to purchase this rubberized surface material. They were denied solely because the playground belongs to a religious organization. The case was dismissed on the way up, and then the Supreme Court decided to take it. And I think it's pretty interesting because you have a pretty big principle at stake here. People of faith shouldn't be treated like second-class citizens, and a victory at the Supreme Court will mean that the government cannot discriminate against religious organizations and exclude them from receiving, like we said, a generally available public benefit simply because they're religious. However, that loss could mean that religious nonprofits could be excluded from programs meant to serve their communities, even being denied basic safety services, you know, like fire and police protection.
This is an element of religious freedom that we don't often discuss. Usually religious freedom is headed under, and rightly so, under free exercise. We think about it in terms of individuals being able to speak their mind or act according to conscience,
right,
something like that. Here we're talking about a religious organization. That's one thing that sets it apart a little bit. And then also that it's receiving a benefit that everybody else gets. Is this essentially about discriminating against religious organizations?
Yeah, it is. All the learning center, this preschool, all they're asking for is to be just treated the same as everyone else. Because right now they're being treated worse than everyone else. And, you know, the Constitution prohibits discriminating against religious people, against religious organizations. And the Supreme Court precedent is pretty clear about that. And again, you know, a couple more analogies, I mean, think about it. How ridiculous would it be if a religious organization was excluded from a statewide asbestos removal program, or say, you know, thieves or burglarizing homes and businesses in a neighborhood, and the police responded to everyone but those, you know, at the parochial school? It's ridiculous, and it's certainly unconstitutional. It's not American, and really, if you think about it, every child's safety matters, and the government shouldn't deny children who attend religious preschools less safe playgrounds than those who attend secular schools.
Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster states that the case is an unequivocal section in the state constitution that prevents tax dollars from being used to aid religious groups. That's his take on it, and how would you respond?
Sure. So what they have in the Missouri Constitution, a number of states have something called, it's called a Blaine Amendment, and it goes beyond what the Constitution itself sets out. And in Missouri, it says that no aid, indirect or direct aid, should be given to a church. But the problem is, that's not what's happening here. This is not an issue of, say, the state subsidizing religious activity. We're talking about a safe playground surface, recycled tire scraps, that is part of a reimbursement grant program that is a secular benefit, like I said, like fire and police protection. And so when the Attorney General makes that statement, he needs to remember that this is, again, it's a very secular benefit, and we can go over again like we already have, you know, the whole host of secular benefits that include basic things like sidewalk, you know, fixing and the police and fire protection.
I'm wondering if you're encouraged by the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to hear this case. Of course, they did not have to. Is that encouraging in itself?
Yeah, it is encouraging. And the news coverage has been pretty favorable towards the preschool. And let's be honest, it's hard to argue against children who attend a religious school not, you know, being denied a safer playground than those who attend a secular school. This is as secular as you get. You know, the preschool director, she often talks about what the children do on the playground. They're playing superheroes. They're climbing on the monkey bars. They're running around. They're being kids. They're just kids playing. This has nothing to do with religious activity and everything to do with the state denying people of faith the same generally available public benefits as those around them.
If the Supreme Court agrees with the Missouri Attorney General and says, no, they can't have this, what kind of precedent does that set for religious organizations, for religious schools, and for churches around the country?
It's a poor precedent, for sure. Again, since we're talking about such a basic secular benefit, where does that end? So if the Supreme Court agrees with the state of Missouri and says that this religious preschool should be categorically excluded from participating in this rubberized grant playground surface program, where does that end exactly? Does it start here? Does it end with the fire and police protection? Do all of a sudden does a church or religious organization have to pay into, say, a statewide asbestos removal program? It's a slippery slope, and it's not a good one.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, I just look at it this way. Those churches sit on big pieces of property. Those schools take up a lot of space, and they don't pay property tax on that because they're church-related. So maybe that's one of the things. They're getting their benefit already. How would you respond?
I would say, well, just because they're taking up space and they, you know, are there in the neighborhood doesn't mean they should be entitled to any less publicly available benefits than those around them. And let's also remember something. This playground is open 24/7 to everyone in the community after hours on the weekends. And what's interesting is that over 90% of the children who attend this preschool don't even attend. Again, the idea that because a religious organization is religious, they should be denied something like this, or say, like the other ones we talked about, the fire service, the police protection, not only is it unconstitutional, but it really defies common sense.
Carrie Kupek is legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll post a link to Alliance Defending Freedom at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Carrie, thank you very much.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Mark and Molly Hemingway join us on the other side of the break. Mark, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, and Molly, senior editor for The Federalist. Last night in Las Vegas, they held the final presidential debate. Boy, there was a lot of back and forth. There was a lot of interruption. There was a lot of name calling. There were also some serious issues taken up, and we'll discuss those right after this.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.